Welcome to Plot Points with Amanda and Christian.
We talk about all things fandom.
I'm one of your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm your other host, Christian.
Today, we're going to talk about How I Met Your Mother, why we love it so much, all the ins and outs of it, examples of how it has great continuity, all that good stuff.
Yep. That's little. We wanted to go into this just talking about How I Met Your Mother, no specifics.
Since you and our other friends got me into How I Met Your Mother, why don't you start?
Okay.
About my why. How, yeah, your story.
My How I Met Your Mother journey. So my journey starts, I guess, my freshman year of college, which was 8 years ago. My friend from high school the first time I ever had a Netflix account I had access to was my friend giving me access to her account. Which Netflix police, if you're listening to this, please don't arrest me. So that specifically so I could watch How I Met Your Mother. She started me on an episode like far into the seasons, and then I had to go back. And I was really confused at first because I'm pretty sure I started out in the same seasons that she showed me, and then I was like, oh crap, I'm too far ahead, so I had to go back. Fell in love with the show. Identified with Ted way too much. Which I'll get to later why I don't like that. And since then, I've watched it like 3 or 4 times all the way through. I got Amanda involved. And I guess you can sort of segue into your experience with it.
Yeah. So I think we said in an earlier episode, Christian and I have been friends for, I think, 5 or 6 years, somewhere along those lines. And I have also been friends with the other people in our core friend group for about the same amount of time. But Christian and those friends have not been friends for that same amount of time. I was friends individually with Christian, and I was individually friends with 3-4 other people in our friend group. At some point, I realized that Christian's interest and their interests were very similar. And I was like, hey, we all need to hang out. So being the extrovert that I am, that kind of happened. We had a lot of journeys to McDonald's at night after college classes and all that good stuff. And my friends got to talking with him, and they all realized that they had all seen How I Met Your Mother. All 4 of them had seen How I Met Your Mother. I had not. And so they were like, oh, you should watch it. You know, it's really cool. And I was like, okay, I guess, you know, in between trying to pass exams and study for stuff, I'll give it a try. So I started watching it, and I was like, let's see what this is all about. And I really, really liked it. I love Ted's storytelling narrative, and how he kind of goes through his whole life, and it's just supposed to be this like one story to his kids. And of course, like, I would text them all the time, be like, oh, I'm at this point and I can't believe this just happened. And they would send me memes. And it was kind of really how our friend group kind of formed, was or centered around How I Met Your Mother.
Mm. And then we got our other friend to watch it with us, and we went through it, I think, Amanda's second time completely through it.
Yes.
Yeah. That we didn't have her text us. We just literally forced her to watch it with us, so she had to wait.
Yeah, we would sit in my apartment.
I would say I feel bad about that, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't really feel bad about it either.
Yeah. So like when I first watched it, I liked the show as a show. I didn't, at that point, the ending didn't happen yet. I had mixed feelings about the ending. We can talk about that later, but I just enjoyed it as a show. But to segue into one of the topics we had mentioned, I continued to like it because of the continuity. And sort of going off of our last episode, there are definitely fan servicey moments, but they're woven in a way that you don't even notice it if you're just watching it. So I don't know where we want to go from there, but that's what I appreciate about it.
You can, and there's very few continuity errors in How I Met Your Mother. What they say at the beginning of the show, they kind of weave it all around and through the show. It's not like, oh, in season 3, Ted or Lily and Marshall have a kid, and then in season 5 they don't, which sounds silly, but in some shows that has happened, where in some sitcoms kids have just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Or
Boy Meets World. I'm looking at you.
Yeah. And Friends, to an extent, like, you don't really talk about Ross's son after a while. Like, you know he's there, but he's also just not really important, which in real life, the son of a of one of your friends would probably be pretty important.
Yeah. Or, like, in Boy Meets World, like, the youngest daughter is, like, there occasionally, and then she's not there for almost an entire season and a half. And they bring her back in, and they even make a joke about it. They're like, she was like, wow, that was the longest grounding I ever had. She's just not there. So I appreciate when they say something in the show. It's like an established thing, and they keep going through it.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you always have those. And there's no perfect show. There's no perfect movie. You're always going to have some errors. Like Marshall... in the first season, he's like, I've never been in a fight before. And then literally the fact that he's been in fights is a major plot point to another episode later on in another season. But, like, I can probably count the continuity errors of How I Met Your Mother on my hand versus other shows where it's just kind of fraught with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an example of, like, one of their really things they started in, like, season one and two and they carried through to the end.
Well, this is more of a callback to a scene, but when Ted meets Barney for the first time, they go back to that a few times, and it's always the same. Like, get rid of the goatee, it doesn't match your suit. And he's like, I'm not wearing a suit. And he's like, lesson two, get a suit. Suits are cool, exhibit A. And he does that again in to the boys that he meets in, like, right before his wedding in season
9. Yeah, that's true. Nine, so. I watched that the other night.
So it's cool, like, even having a line as a callback, like, that's pretty cool.
Or, like, how it's always, like, anytime he's doing any kind of statistic, it's always 83%.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Robin's dogs existing.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, it's not, the continuity isn't the main part of it, but it's definitely something I appreciate about it, as well as the, I think this kind of falls into continuity, is more the, like, when they mention websites and stuff, and you, like, you search on those websites in real life, you will actually find the website. It's like Barney's blog, I think, is up, and some of this stuff as well. Ted Mosby Sucks or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've gone to that one.
Yeah, which is, I don't know if you want to call that an Easter egg, fan service, or continuity, but it's great. Like, I love that kind of thing where you can, like I mentioned in episode one, sort of the extra interaction after the credits. Having that extra interaction really helps sort of solidify a fan base.
Who's your favorite How I Met Your Mother character, do you think?
I want to say Marshall, probably.
Why?
I would have said Ted previously.
All right, well, why do you say Marshall now, and why would you have said previously Ted?
Marshall's just sincere. Like, he's a big kid. And, like, a very responsible adult somehow meshed. Like, he's a goofball, but you can tell he really cares about his wife. To the point where it's kind of gross, in a good way. He cares about his friends. He cares about the world, to be honest. His entire job is based around him trying to avoid making more money because he wants to do a job that he makes more of an impact on the world. So I think he's kind of the guy that you want to aspire to be. So my friend Patrick and I actually had a thing that we talked about of, like, sort of our own little not fan theory, just our own little snippet of wisdom, I guess, where a lot of guys are Barney, or at least they think they're Barney, when they're really Ted, when they really want to be Marshall. Like, Marshall is the end goal of what a man should be, at least for How I Met Your Mother. Or someone who's responsible, someone who cares, someone who has conviction, I guess. Whereas Ted, and I like Ted, don't get me wrong, but I liked him more before. Like, I still identify with him a bit. And, like, people, like, I started the show because people were like, you're Ted. Like, you basically sound like Ted. Just in my mannerisms and in the specific brand of nerdiness that I have. So him and Barney, to me, they're not at their best potential.
Why do you say that about Ted? I can definitely understand Barney. And he's for 9/10 of the show, he's a playboy and then kind of stops being a playboy for Robin and then goes back to it. And then finally, when he has a kid, is when he actually settles down.
Which, a little side thing here. I don't know if that was the best thing for him. Like he had a very poignant moment, like literally that same episode where he's like, this is me. Can you just let me be me? And then all of a sudden he has a child and it's like, oh, it's, I have a baby now, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I don't know if that was a good end for his character personally. That's just a side note. I don't know how I would have ended his character arc. I probably would have just kept him married. The playboy finding love with the woman who didn't want to get married, I feel like is a good change in, for both their characters without betraying who they were. Robin wanted to be this free person who cared about her career, and she did that. Barney wanted to be sort of this free spirit, never going to grow up child, and he did that. And I feel like they had growth by accepting who they were, by marrying each other, and by divorcing and turning into Ted's love interest again for Robin and a father for Barney. I don't know if that's the change they deserved. But that was all sidebar.
Yeah, well, I want to discuss that more in a minute because talking about like who you think ended, did people end up with the right people? But why the change of heart with Ted?
1 second. Lincoln! Alita. Because he tries to go upstairs because he wants to eat the cat litter.
Yep.
He thinks they're little nuggets of joy. Mm-hmm. So we have a vacuum. Vacuums are his greatest fear. We have a vacuum right in front of the cat litter, and it works, but I don't want him to go upstairs anyway. But he, whenever he thinks I'm not paying attention, he tries to go up there. It was Ted or Marshall that we were talking about?
Ted.
Was it Ted? Oh, you were saying, yeah. Going back to Ted not meeting his full potential. I think in some ways he did, some ways he didn't. He was always sort of the star. Ted was always a starry-eyed idealist, and he had a moment of doubt, and then he overcame that. And I think that was a really great part to his arc. But I think in a lot of ways he was, which people have said this before, he was more Barney than he realized. Ted was the guy that was caught in between trying to be a Marshall while being a Barney, but he denied that he was. He was just as much of a player as Barney. He just wasn't gross about it. He was, for lack of a better word, he was kind of a man slut. Not to slut shame him or anything, but that's basically what he was. While also calling Barney a man slut. Like he slut shamed Barney while he still did the same exact thing while he thought he was more of a Marshall, but he wasn't a Marshall. And I think fulfillment for him would have been being that. Which I guess you kind of see it. Which going back to something I've probably said to you before, so kind of the same complaint I had with Game of Thrones was if they had taken seasons to do what they did in a few episodes for the ending, I would have appreciated better. For Game of Thrones, I feel like they could have done 4 more seasons. For How Much Mother, I feel like they could have done at least 1 more season and had the 2 episodes at the end be an entire season. And I would have liked it more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there needed to be actual episodes in which we were in real time and the mother was there.
Yeah.
Versus just having entire flashback. Like the mother only appears in flashback.
Yeah, like she was there a lot.
I mean, I guess everything season, technically is a flashback, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, she was very present in that season, but her with Ted was not. Besides flash, like I guess flash forwards, if you want to call it that, in the flashback that the entire show was. I don't know, just because those two episodes were basically a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster, not in a good way. Like they literally changed characters from who they were at the beginning of the episode to drastically different versions of themselves and older versions of themselves at the end of the episodes.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a reversion of different characters. I think, I don't know, and this can kind of lead into, do you agree with who ended up with who? I think that if they had left Ted stay with Tracy, the mother, then he would have completed that kind of arc that you talk about of how Ted thinks he's Marshall, but he's actually a slightly less gross version of Barney.
Yeah. I think this is just, like, I just thought of this just now. If they had done an entire season, I feel like a great arc would have been Barney and Robin still having trouble. And Robin and Ted getting the temptation of cheating and sort of running away into the sunset themselves. And then him deciding to stay with the mother and her deciding to stay with Barney. I mean, it was kind of done with Kevin, but at the same time, I feel like that would have been a good arc to have. And it would have solidified things for both of them. Rather than have them end up together, have them really decide to not end up together. Not just him letting go, but them both letting go.
Yes, although I think the reason that, like, Robin and Barney aside, that happened before Tracy died. But I think the reason that Ted was open to being back together with Robin was because Tracy died. I don't think that if Tracy was alive, mm-hmm. I don't think it would have ever have come up. It would have been like, yeah, no, that's you're fair. Even if Barney and Robin were divorced, or there was an opportunity, like Robin was like, came to Ted and was like, hey, I changed my mind. I'm in love with, yeah. I don't,
which she's done in the past, which is, I think, stupid personally.
Right. Like at that point, he's so like, he knows that this is the mother of his kids, is the person he's supposed to spend his life with. I don't think anything would have convinced him to change his mind. It had to have been she was no longer alive.
That's fair.
That being said, no, go ahead.
Go on.
That being said, I lost where I was going anyway. Do you like the ending of the show? Do you think that Ted and Robin should have ended up together? Because I think we agree on this, but I know we've had this discussion in our friend group, and definitely not all of us agree. Some of us think that Ted and Tracy should have stayed together. Other people think it always should have been Ted and Robin.
I'm kind of iffy on all of it. This is actually one of those rare circumstances where I think it makes more sense in real life, but in a TV show it doesn't. But I feel like narratively the writers thought that they did. If that makes any sense. Like in their eyes, this whole story was about Robin. So that they had the kids say, and they recorded these kids earlier on, like when they first started the show, because they're kids, you kind of have to record them at that age. So they had all this planned out. I feel like in real life, this happens and it's cool, it's whatever. But narratively, I don't hate it, but I don't like it. I guess it depends on how it's executed, and I think it was executed poorly. So like, again, had they taken an entire season or two seasons on this, it would have been fine. But the fact that it all happened all at once, we met the mother, just met the mother, and then she died. We just got the wedding. That this entire, arguably the entire show, was culminating to this wedding, because he met her at this wedding. Like if you shorten the story of How I Met Your Mother, oh, I met your mother at a wedding with my best friends, is the real short story. So like it all culminated to this point. Barney and Robin got married and he met the mother. And then in the span of two episodes, which are two-parter, so it's really one just long episode, the mother dies and the wedding that culminated turned into a failed marriage. Not a failed marriage. They wouldn't have called it that, but a short marriage.
I think their words were a very successful marriage that only lasted 3 years. I think that was Barney's version of what happened.
Yeah, 3 years. Are you kidding me? 3 years after this entire buildup where he was pining after her, she was pining after him. And then 3 years and they're done. That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. I don't really like the ending of having the mother die. Mm-hmm. To me, the story, maybe when they first started out, it was going to be about Robin. And maybe they intended for Robin to be the mother, and then somewhere along the way they decided they changed their mind, but they still wanted the story to ultimately be about Robin. But I don't see enough breadcrumbs throughout the if you're going to do that, I don't see enough hints and breadcrumbs throughout the show of, hey, by the way, yes, the story is How I Met Your Mother, but it's not really about the mother.
Yeah, no, it's more like how I convinced you to let me be with your new stepmother.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, I feel like on that grain, I feel like that sort of falls into what we talked about last episode, the George R. R. Martin quote, where he's like, if a fan figures out what you're trying to do, you don't change it. I feel like they did the opposite, where they, it wasn't a fan, but they didn't allow it to change when they should have. They should have realized their story that they wrote changed, but they didn't.
They realized that, hey, they did the opposite of what a lot of people who write novels do. What I do when I'm writing a story, I have an idea of where I'm going, but if a character decides something else is going to happen, then I have to change what I'm doing, because that's how the story is being told.
Yeah, and in this case, that was three characters telling you, we don't want to go.
Yeah.
We have to morphosize them, obviously, but we don't want to go where you've written us to go, so you need to change. If a character is telling you you need to change, change it. If your fan is telling you to change, keep it the same.
And if their justification was, well, we already recorded the ending, there's ways to change your tactic of how you're going to have that ending, I feel like.
Yeah,
which, I feel like even if you had them older, it could literally be the riff of, wow, it took so long to tell this story that we're 8 years older now. Like, if they really, really wanted to do that ending of having the kids there when the mother is revealed, then they could have found a way to do it. I don't really buy the excuse of, well, we already shot the ending, so we're boxed into this ending.
Yeah. It might have been, in hindsight, it's 2020, but it might have been good for them to film different reaction shots and just have B-roll of the kids that are kind of generic and vague that they could have gone back to and had them react to specific things. And it would have felt specific in the moment, but it would have been generic recording it. That's the lesson I learned from this, is if do whatever you can to not back yourself into a corner. And if you want to have something cool like this, well, I mean, nowadays we have technology to make people look younger anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, they didn't have that back then. But I still feel like you could have created an ending that was still true to what the idea of what you wanted to do, while at the same time realizing, hey, the story has evolved past what we thought it was going to, and it's taking a different turn, and we have to honor that.
It was essentially the story of Ted, Robin, and Barney. Like, arguably, at least Barney is as much of a main character as Ted. And they gave him enough screen time to make that a thing. So, like, to me, the ending isn't even, the worst part isn't Tracy dying. The worst part for me is actually Barney and Robin breaking up. And Robin kind of leaving the friend group. Because she literally started the show with, I just moved to New York and I don't have any friends. And then she ended the show with, yeah, I don't really feel like we're friends anymore. But I feel like that's kind of sucky.
To
do to her as a character.
I
feel like Robin deserves more than what the show gave her.
I agree. I'm trying to think of who my favorite character is. I really like Tracy. I would watch an entire show on her. And I know there was originally supposed to be a How I Met Your Father, but it was a different actress, and it was just a different vibe for the show. But I really enjoyed learning the mother's backstory and how
Here Your Father Met Me, I think it was.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed seeing
the episode, not the spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed seeing how there were so many moments where they're so close to meeting each other, but if they had met each other in that moment, it wouldn't have not have worked out. Like, there's like each of them still had growing that they had to do before they could meet each other. But there's so many times where, you know, he's in the apartment with her roommate, or he's in the wrong classroom when he's a professor, and the space of time that they were each in their lives, it wouldn't have worked, or would not have worked as well as when they met, when Ted is just like, I'm done searching for people. The old lady had to like really convince him to go talk to this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like yeah, I mess up what
yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, no, I got like that's. Well, that's sort of calling back to the continuity. The continuity in that point almost becomes, it's less continuity in a show and it's more fate in their universe. Like the entire show is basically he's fated to meet her. And if all these little pieces didn't come into play, he wouldn't. It's like the episode, The Penny, or whatever it's called, where he finds the penny, and because he finds the penny, all this stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the entire show, the penny is the thesis, and the entire show is basically him saying, yeah, if this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen, I wouldn't have even been the man I was to meet your mother and then fall in love with her. And she wouldn't have even been the woman she was to do the same thing.
And I think not to get philosophical and preachy or whatever, but I think that's also a good life lesson that people can take away from the show is, you know, you're going through something and you don't know why you're what's happening to you, you don't know what the purpose is, and then down the line you're like, well, if I hadn't gone through that, then this other thing wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't end up where I am now.
Yeah. So whether you believe in fate or whether you just believe in seeing the good, there's kind of a lesson to be learned here of like everything, whether it's meant to or not, has an effect, has a consequence, good or bad. And those consequences lead you to who you are as a person. I feel like especially Ted, that is Ted's story really. That's, he's the puppet of fate in a good way. Like everything he is, which is great, it's a great storytelling technique, because that's what a story is. It's you showing, this is a character point A, this is them important point B, and this is how they got there. But actually having that as the fiber of your show is really cool to sort of, it's not just a plot device. The plot is part of the narrative. If that makes any sense.
No, that makes total sense. Let's talk about favorite episodes. Actually, what's your favorite episode, least favorite episode?
It's actually kind of been, I started watching a couple of the last season a few weeks ago. So I watched accidentally watched the entire of the last season out of order. But I've watched all of it. My go-to, I guess, would be the burger one. The one where Marshall is in search.
Best burger in New York.
It's a holy grail story, basically, if you want to go the esoteric. Is that right? Esoteric. The erudite route of like, I'm studying this as like a professor or a film student, is like, this is basically a holy grail episode, but the holy grail is a burger. And the only way that's actually a good parallel to Ted, though. I'm not trying to be pretentious about it, but that's actually a really good parallel to Ted, is that Marshall kept at it and eventually he found his perfect burger, and Ted just had to keep at it. He had to not give up when he almost did for a second, and he got not to compare the love of his life to a burger.
Your whole philosophical thing is being paired very well with Lincoln's drinking of the water.
Yeah, sorry about that. This has been ASMR with Christian and Lincoln the dog.
No, but I agree with what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite episode is definitely Final Page Part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I know I've had arguments with you and other friends about if the way in which Barney proposes to Robin is adorable or a complete like horrible, because it's based on a lie.
It's the Doppler-Dahmer effect that they talk about in the show.
The thing about Barney is, yes, I guess you could technically say that the lead up to the proposal was lies, because he was pretending to, you know, be with her arch nemesis, and he was pretending, he's like, hey, we're done, and all of that. But it's also really, it's really sweet, because the proposal itself is, Barney doesn't like to be vulnerable. he always likes to be in the situation where he everything's on his terms. He knows what the answer is going to be. It's why he has the playbook, because this is the list of plays that he knows has worked in the past and is going to work for him in the future. And so he doesn't have to do any guesswork. He doesn't have to be vulnerable with anyone. And so the fact that he writes a play that he's never tried before that is so specific to Robin, and its success is entirely contingent on hoping that she sees all of this and is like, yes, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really sweet. I'm also that person that likes surprises. So the lead up to me doesn't seem like so much of a lie as just a part of a hoodwink and a surprise of, hey, this is part of the prank. This is part of the story. I like practical jokes. I like surprises. So to me, like, I would be mad while it was happening, but like, once, I think my headcanon is after like the proposal scene, he kind of like walks her through all the steps he took to do everything. Like, he kind of goes through that play. Mm-hmm. And if it was me, while he was going through it, I would be like, oh yeah, that's kind of clever. That's kind of funny. Like, in the moment, I think I would have reacted the same way that Robin did, where she's just like, this is ridiculous and whatever. But knowing the behind the scenes of like, oh, well, I enlisted Patrice's help and I did all of this and I did all of this for you, I think it is sweet. Now, is Barney a redeemable character? Maybe, maybe not. That's a whole other argument, whether or not Barney is a good example of a good guy and a good character. That's a whole other discussion. But the play itself, I think, is a sweet proposal.
Yeah, I appreciate the proposal because of where they end up in the next season, where he does say, Marshall and Lily are basically the perfect couple. The only thing that happened that was wrong was Marshall lied to her. So I vow that I'll never lie to you again. I think that right there, having him propose in a lie, which is really sweet and sort of almost justifies a lie, then having him say, no, you know what? I understand honesty is probably one of the most important things to you. So I'm going to shed this excuse of I'm doing all these lies for you and just I'm going to be honest for you instead. I think that was a very big moment for him. So I appreciate that happening.
I agree with that. I'm trying to find the episode I know what my least favorite episode is, but I don't remember what it's called.
I think my least favorite episodes are just the ones I got bored with. There's some real good gems there, but there are some boring episodes like filler, but I can't think of a specific episode where I just hate. Even the finale, like the finale, if they had done it through an entire season, I would have enjoyed the finale. Because I think that is a very poignant moment, him saying that, the whole honesty thing, and then later at the divorce scene saying, I promised I'd always be honest with you, so I got to be honest and tell you that I'm not happy. Like, that was very good writing, in my opinion. And I think if it was drawn out over a season, I would have accepted all of the ending results more, even the ones I disliked the most, if they had drawn it out.
Yeah, I found it. It's The Autumn of Breakups.
I like that episode.
I've said this before, I don't like Victoria's character, and I know most people like Victoria's character, but I never thought she was very interesting to begin with. And then specifically in this season where I feel like she jerks Ted around all the time, because she's like, oh, you know, I'm so romantic and the lead up to the kiss is better than the kiss itself. And then they're in a relationship and she breaks up with him, and then she's in Germany, and then she turns up and is like, hey, I'm getting married, but I don't really know that I want to marry this guy. I want to see if I still want to be with you. And so she literally, and I believe that it comes up that she did she actually cheat on Ted with Klaus?
No. Through technicality, he was slightly worse. He cheated on her with Robin, but she basically got together with this guy that she was probably going to break up. That's probably what the phone call was, her breaking up to date this guy.
And then that comes out, and then she I feel like she just jerks guys around a lot. And then to make matters worse, she's like, okay, I want to be with you, Ted. And then a couple episodes later, she's like, well, I only want to be with you if you don't talk to Robin anymore. But I did all of these things with, you know, other guys, but I'm completely trustworthy.
Yeah, okay. I love Victoria. She's one of my top people. But you have a point, because literally like a few episodes prior, what's his name? Klaus literally lived with them. So how can you have Klaus live with you? Have your boyfriend, fiance, whatever you want to call him, I don't remember if they were engaged. Have your boyfriend go through that, only to then turn around and be like, but you can't be friends with your ex.
All right, exactly. Like when she left Klaus, it was her wedding day. She was in a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Is the scene
Klaus,
where
she was going to marry Klaus. He just dated Robin. And while it's obvious he wanted to marry Robin, she took the step further, and yet he doesn't matter while Robin does matter. That doesn't make
sense.
And
that's always what's bothered me. Like I didn't like that particular storyline in Friends either. I don't know if you've gotten that far in Friends.
I don't remember where I am in Friends.
Ross marries Emily and says Rachel's name at the altar, which like, okay, not cool. I get it. But then I kind of felt like Emily's in that show. Emily's character was very controlling from the get-go anyway. And so she just basically has this ultimatum of like, I'll only move back. She moved back to England. She's like, I'll only move back to the United States if you don't see Rachel anymore.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's fair for her to say, but also, yeah, she's controlling. It's a weird balance with these characters.
And that's like, that's kind of how I felt about Victoria. I was like, well, you did almost the exact same thing, but Ted's not demanding that you get rid of Klaus. In fact, he let Klaus stay in your apartment.
Also, to be fair, though, she was never hung up over Klaus, while he was very obviously hung up over Robin, even when he claimed he wasn't.
True. But even still, like, he might have been hung up over Robin, but he didn't do anything to not have her trust. When she said, she just kept saying to him, oh, I see it. And there was no, like, he didn't do anything, at least not in that moment, to warrant it, whether or not in his head he was still hung up over Robin or not.
Yeah. I guess it's one of those things where, like, because he cheated, I think maybe there is a little bit, there was definitely a level of maturity there that they both didn't really have, that they should have had, re-entering a relationship like that. Because, like, basically, I guess the theme of their entire relationship is, what's the term? Undealt with emotions. Ted had deceived himself into thinking he wasn't into Robin anymore when he really was. And Victoria had deceived herself into thinking she could make this work, even though she was still holding a grudge from when he cheated. Like, I think they both needed to be honest with themselves. And if they were honest with themselves, they never would have been together in the first place. Well, the second place.
And that's why I don't like that episode. And that's probably my least favorite character one of my least favorite characters is definitely Victoria. I don't think she does a lot for Ted.
Yeah. I like her as her personality, I think, meshes well with Ted, but yeah. Also, she's kind of displayed as kind of ditzy in the first seasons. Like maybe because we know Robin more, but like Robin will say something that's clearly passive aggressive, and she just won't get it. She thinks Robin and her are these great friends.
Yeah, but that could also just be some people just don't read that well.
Yeah.
They don't know how to read a room.
That's true.
One of my other favorite arcs, not just episodes, but I love the Robin Sparkles and subplot of Slaps the slap bit.
Slapsgiving. Yeah.
Because they all, I mean, those two are kind of intertwined, because that's where the first slap happens, is in Slap Bit, where Robin Sparkles is revealed. And I love the fact that Robin, who like grew up pretty much as a boy because her dad was like, oh, I want a son, and so I'm making do a son, and then is still in the show, is still very much more of a adventurous, tomboyish kind of character, had a past where she played basically the Canadian version of Hannah Montana.
Yeah. That's true.
And I love that comparison of, oh, well, this is what I used to do. And the songs are very catchy. Like, they're good songs. I have
one in my head now because you mentioned it.
They're good songs.
Yeah. I think that's a good arc. Slapsgiving. I love the Slapsgiving, how it sort of ended with the wedding. That was pretty cool. The ducky tie was pretty cool. Yeah,
ducky tie was good.
The symbolism in the show is amazing. The yellow umbrella, the purple giraffe, all the blue French horn, the colored symbols is really cool.
Yeah, I have, I got a Hi Met Your Mother keychain for Christmas that has all those symbols on there. I have a painting that you made me for Secret Santa a few years ago with the blue French horn and the yellow umbrella. I love how throughout the show you have all of those symbols. Like, and the blue French horn, I don't think plays as much of a part as the yellow umbrella. It's definitely a part because it bookends the show. But the yellow umbrella is so woven through the show because Tracy has it in some moments. Ted has it in others. There's a couple of scenes where like everyone has a yellow umbrella. And it's like anyone could be the mother. And then there's scenes where there's a bunch of black umbrellas and one yellow umbrella.
Not to get pretentious again, but the fact that the yellow umbrella is woven in while the blue French horn kind of just pops up is kind of a good indicator too, because the blue French horn is their relationship, like Robin and Ted's relationship, and the yellow umbrella is the mother. The fact that the mother is woven into the entire story while the blue French horn is just moments is kind of a cool thematic.
But wouldn't that indicate though that the story is actually about the mother and not about Robin?
Yeah, which I think it's supposed to be, personally.
But the creators of the show knew, because they wrote the ending to begin with, that it was always going to be about Robin. So wouldn't you give more clues that, like, hey, Ted's going to end up with Robin?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Robin and Tracy are really at the core. It's both the story for Ted. It's both of them. It's not just Robin, no matter what they say. It's not just Tracy, no matter what I want. It's both of them. It's him letting go of Robin to be with Tracy, and then him letting go of Tracy to be with Robin. In the past, he was letting go of Robin to be with Tracy. In the present, when he's talking to his kids, he's talking to them about Tracy, to let go of Tracy and get the permission to date Robin. So it's kind of a weird parallel thing there.
That not is like go of Tracy, but like... That, yeah, that is interesting. Although, I don't know. I don't think... I like what you said about letting go of Tracy to be with Robin again. I don't know if I agree with letting go of Robin to be with Tracy. Because all of the things leading up to meeting the mother, even up to like the thing where he knocks in his little dream, he knocks on her door and is like, in 45 days, I'm going to meet you and I want those 45 days back. Mm-hmm. In all of his flashback or flash forward conversations with the mother, I never got the indication that it was like, okay, well, Barney and Robin are married now, and so I have to go find someone else. It was just like, how could I have been so stupid to be so hung up on this person when this other person that was perfect for me was out there? It was almost like Robin wasn't even a thought anymore.
Yeah, but I think part of that was because he had to let her go before. It's not like he met Tracy and let her go. He had to let her go to be open to me meeting Tracy in the first place. That was the whole, like, this is probably one of my least favorite scenes because it's pretty cheesy, but when he's the whole red balloon thing where he's letting go of Robin.
Oh, I love that scene.
And she floats away.
I
love what it means for story. I love the dialogue, the actual visual of her floating away. It's really cheesy for me, but I get it. Like, he's maybe not the entire show, but at least the wedding stuff, a lot of the arc is him letting go of Robin, of Robin accepting that Barney is right for her and that she's making the right choice, because it's a big moment for her to even get married, and Barney letting go of his sort of childish ways and being who he needs to be with Robin. And then the whole Marshall and Lily kind of their own story. They've always had the kind of had their own stories. I would love a show that was just Marshall and Lily. Like, after everything happened, just seeing like them as more main characters.
Yeah, I'd love to see their adventures in Italy.
Yeah, although I think part of the reason why they ended it was because, what's this? The guy that plays Marshall, like he was kind of getting tired of the role a bit. Like, I don't think that would ever happen. But it would have still been cool to see.
I mean, we can go on and on about How I Met Your Mother, but I think we've talked about a good amount of why we love it and why what it means to us. Do you think any kind of spinoff will ever happen? And do you think it'll be good if it does happen?
We'll kind of
end on that.
I don't think it would happen, just because while it's still something that's in like popular culture as talked about, which it's kind of like people comment on like how Game of Thrones has just dropped off the face of the earth once season 8 ended, or How I Met Your Mother kind of gets referenced here and there, like Lost almost. But I don't think it's popular enough to get a spinoff. Maybe. I would be worried for sure. If it did, I wouldn't outright say no, I won't watch it. I would definitely check it out and hope it's good. And you never know, it could be. If they bring back the writers, I think it could be good. I think Carter Bays? Just the two guys that wrote it. If they brought them back, I think it could be very good. But I don't need it. If I got it, it would be great. I guess it's kind of
I don't think it hit that sweet spot of being far enough back where it's in the reboot section of pop culture right now. Like, everything from Gilmore Girls to, I think, Friends is getting a reunion show, Boy Meets World, like, they're Full House. I think maybe 10, 15 years from now, it'll get some sort of reboot or spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
If reboot and spinoff culture is still a thing in 10, 15 years, it may be something where we've moved on to completely new storytelling. I don't know.
I hope so. Because, like, as a future writer, hopefully, I'd love to not be doing reboots. There's a couple reboots I would want to make. I want to make a live action Korra. You haven't seen Legend of Korra.
Mm-mm.
I think I don't want to spoil it because I want you to watch it. I think Korra definitely is something that was a great story. And if they hadn't run into a lot of trouble, they ran in behind the scenes to make it, I think it could have been even better. And I think that, more than Avatar The Last Airbender, would make a really good live action, or at least a reboot. That's literally the only thing I can actually think of. Like, I think things that deserve to be reboots are things that were pretty good, but could have been better. I think you shouldn't reboot something that was great, because why? That story has been told. Well, I know why, money. But from a writer's standpoint, you shouldn't remake something that's been told, and you could maybe revisit something that was bad, but I think the sweet spot is something that was good, but has so much more potential to be better.
I agree.
So How I Met Your Mother, I think it falls into the great category. I don't think it needs a reboot. I don't think a reunion thing would be kind of cool, but
I think maybe like a one-off, like a one-off where they are now, maybe, but yeah, I don't like even just I like agree, a, I don't.
Like a table thing with like Josh Radnor as Josh Radnor and so on and so forth. Like the actors talking about it would be cool. But going back and filming something, I'd watch it for sure. But I don't know if I would like it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Yeah, I think we're going to end our episode there.
Yep. I mean, we're definitely going to talk about this more if you guys didn't get your fill. How Much Your Mother is basically was the glue that started our friendship, not our friendship, but the friend group that we sort of cultivated. So it's definitely something we'll talk about in future episodes for sure.
Yep. So be sure to follow us on our social media, Plot Points with Amanda and Christian on Facebook and Plot Points AC on Instagram. And we will see you in our next episode. Bye.